This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We're live from Sodus Bay Heights Golf Club. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, joined by the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Draft Network, Joe Marino. Joe, how you been, bud?
Thank you.
Oh, there we go. Joe, appreciate your time today. Joe, can you hear us okay? Okay, yeah, something be with the board there, Danger. It's
Okay, Joe, we might have a little bit of a rough connection here. Let's see if we can power through the first few seconds here and make sure that we're okay. Joe, you're down there in Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, you've been kind of tracking the last couple of days of joint practices with the Bills and the Panthers, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Was in attendance both days and looking forward to being at the game on Friday night.
Here you're fine now, Joe. Joe, tell us what your impressions were watching these two practices. Let's start out with a guy that you've been tracking, not for months, but for years, Josh Allen. What did you think of Josh Allen here the 2 days you saw him this week?
Very encouraged. And I think one of my favorite things about the entire session was getting to see Josh Allen on one field and Cam Newton, the 2015 NFL MVP, you know, a preferred starter in the NFL, side by side, getting to see how they work and how they execute the offense and all those types of things. And I came away, if you didn't know who either one was, and you said one was a 2015 MVP and one was a second-year pro that had plenty of doubters, I don't think you could tell me which was which if you weren't familiar. So a very encouraging week for Josh Allen. Thought he was very decisive with the football. That was probably my favorite thing. Thought he really read the field well, knew where to go to it, go with it. And he put it there accurately for the most part. I really thought his accuracy from day one to day two really jumped. He's really definitely establishing a lot of rhythm with Cole Beasley and John Brown. And so I was encouraged with what we saw from Josh in that Colts game, the first preseason game, in terms of field awareness, taking care of the football and being decisive and getting it out of his hands quick. I heard Luke Kuechly kind of echo some of those comments, and I saw it with my own eyes. I'm very encouraged with where Josh is right now.
Joe, I want to go back to that week one preseason win against the Colts, and one thing that we saw several analysts point out about Josh Allen's performance, his limited performance, was his ability to read the defense pre-snap, which was a knock on him coming into the NFL. Did you get to see any of that towards the end of last season, and now year two, more familiarity with Brian Daboll's offense? Is he showing that much improvement? Was week one the preseason a sign of more positive things to come this season with Josh Allen?
I think so. I think week one of the preseason and 2 days of practice, really watching Josh and kind of having the end zone angle, was really advantageous to getting a look at the coverage rotations and Josh's where his eyes were. So it was a very beneficial spot. And when you compare that to the end of last year, I thought what Brian Daboll did at the end of last season was he made the offense work for Josh where he was at that point in his development, which was, we're going to go empty and we're going to run a lot of vertical stuff down the field. And if it's not there, Josh, take off with your legs. And it wasn't a lot of challenge on him to read coverage and allow that rotation to dictate decision-making. I thought that's what you saw early in the season from Josh Allen, when I thought he was running an offense that was more tailored for a guy like Nate Peterman. So I don't think anyone expected Nate Peterman to not be able to at least hold the seat warm for a couple of weeks while Josh found his way. And so Josh is thrown into action and wasn't ready. And I thought that the offense was simplified for Josh later on. But I will say, in terms of watching all 22 against the Colts and then 2 days of with the end zone view, I've seen Josh and watching his eyes and paying very close attention to how he recognizes coverage rotation and where to go with the football. I thought that was a very encouraging growth, especially what I saw over the last couple of days.
Joe Marino, the Draft Network, who was down in Spartanburg this week, our guest here in the sports bar. And the beginning of the conversation, I thought you made an interesting point, if we can dive in a little bit more into it, is that here you have side-by-side two fields. It's offense versus defense. It's offense versus defense. And if Josh Allen is on one side of the field, well, then you have Cam Newton on the other side. And yes, the comparisons are always going to kind of be there between these two franchises. But when you see Josh Allen on one field, can you not help but kind of compare him to the guy on the other side? In other words, how far does Josh have to go to get to Cam Newton? Do you notice a marked difference between the two? Because Cam Newton's somebody who, yeah, he's won a league MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. He has a command of that offense. So when you're seeing how Allen is with the Bills offense, how does he compare to where you would say right on the field next door is where Newton is with the Panthers offense?
I'd say first thing that jumps off is they're very different personalities. Cam Newton is big-time smiles, really engaging the attendees around the field, and he's just very loose. You can just tell he's having fun. And just different, where Josh is kind of buttoned up during practice. I'll give him that. I'm not saying that he isn't engaged and loose, but few people are like Cam. So right off the bat, you have really different personalities. But at the skill sets is where everyone wants to go back to it. And I think maybe this sounds a little weird, but looking at them and kind of comparing their body compositions, Cam Newton, he's the defensive lineman below the waist. And Josh Allen has great size. He's tall and he's got a great build for a quarterback, but he isn't Cam. He's not Cam from below the waist. He's very thick and muscular down below his waist, and it's different than Josh. So you saw Cam really, he's made a living as probably the greatest dual-threat quarterback the NFL's ever seen. And Josh, while I think running can be a part of what he does, he's not even built like Cam. And so I thought stylistically the offenses are very different. Carolina runs almost like a very misdirection heavy, a lot of motion, a lot of getting things going one way, working back across the field, where for Josh Allen in an Earhart Perkins system, it's a lot of reading, it's a lot of mental, and it's knowing where to go with the football based on route combinations and coverage. So it's really different styles of play that they have, where it seems like Josh uses the deep stuff to set up the short stuff, and it's the opposite with Cam. And Cam's had two shoulder surgeries on his throwing arm in the last 3 years, and so that offense has really evolved. That's why you saw them go and get a Christian McCaffrey to take away the amount of times that Cam Newton's taking off with the football, and then you're seeing this offense where he's not throwing the football down the field as much. It's the short stuff and kind of bringing that defense forward, and then he unleashes the deeper passes. So very different types of offenses, and I think that their trajectory needs to be a little bit different because I don't think Josh is built like Cam, even though they're really good-sized quarterbacks, each of them.
You talk about the dual threat possibility of a Cam Newton. We certainly saw that last year out of necessity with Josh Allen. I know the Bills say that they don't want him to run as much as he did last year. And that being said, it's still an effective part of his game, and I think it's still a way to keep defenses honest. Do you think we will see Josh Allen use his feet, making plays with his feet on some dialed-up runs this year with the Buffalo Bills?
I think you will, but where it's going to be really different from Cam is Cam's had a lot of design runs, a lot of called quarterback runs throughout the course of his career where, Josh Allen took off a lot, but it was not necessarily very often at all that it was a design quarterback run. It was, hey, nothing's there, let's take off with the legs. And when you're empty all the time, that's really going to force the defense to be in man coverage. And so when you're in man coverage as opposed to zone coverage, there's no eyes in the backfield. You're really creating good opportunities to take off with your legs if you're a quarterback. And so, I think that it's always going to have to be part of what he does because that's what makes him difficult to defend. But, yeah, I think when you start incorporating targets like Cole Beasley that can really manipulate the defense in different ways and working the underneath stuff and the timing that him and Cole Beasley, Josh Allen and Cole Beasley are developing, that you're going to see Josh Allen challenge more of the field. And because he just has more available options, because he's more comfortable, because the offense has been able to evolve around him as opposed to last year, he's coming in as the number three quarterback. And so I just feel like the comfort level is going to be there for Josh to see the whole field, still making sure that he uses his legs to keep him dangerous, but I don't think it'll be nearly as frequently as we saw towards the end of 2018.
Joe Marino from the Draft Network, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Joe, let's go over to the offensive line. Where do you come down on Cody Ford? Because it seems like the Bills are going to take their time here. Well, they are taking their time. Is he a better guard? Is he a better tackle? What is the best fit? And there's a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a story or not, the fact that Nsekhe did not do anything other than kind of dress yesterday, but was off to the side. Do you know anything about that other than we read? And your thoughts on Cody Ford, better at guard or tackle here?
Yeah, for the Ty Nsekhe thing, I don't think anyone really has an answer. He was dressed. His helmet was on all practice. He just wasn't taking any team reps. And so we don't really have an answer there. But that did force Cody Ford to bump out to right tackle. And I think that Cody Ford probably is one of the best five offensive linemen. And so getting him on the field is important. What I don't like, and I actually talked to Eric Wood and wrote an article about this on the Draft Network just a few weeks ago, about, you know, position switches and you know, moving between tackle and guard and center. And it's pretty challenging. Challenging to do that. And I think that Cody Ford coming out of the Big 12, you know, he's going from blocking guys at Iowa State, Baylor to the NFL. It's tough enough already to make this jump, but now he's playing completely different positions out on an island at tackle and going against different types of body types and skill sets on the edge, as opposed to being on the interior where the action happens quicker and there are different types of players you're blocking. It's a lot on this plate. And I don't think it does Cody Ford any type of a service here to keep him bouncing back and forth. And so I know that is challenging with the dynamics of this offensive line, with some of the injuries that have happened already throughout camp. And it's causing Cody Ford to be kind of bounce around back and forth. But I'd really like to see him settle in at one spot and for him to develop in that spot, because I think that there's a lot on his plate, and he's a young football player.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast, thedraftnetwork.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, live from Sodus Bay Heights Golf Club. I'm trying to take a positive approach to Mitch Morse's absence due to the concussion. If there's a silver lining, perhaps it's that Sean McDermott and Bobby Johnson and Brian Daboll can really evaluate all of these different lineman combinations that they have and all of these the variety of different positions where they have them at. Is that a fair silver lining, or is Mitch Morse missing as much time as he's missing truly bad for what he might be early on in 2019 for the Buffalo Bills?
I mean, Mitch Morse is a high-impact center, right? You paid him the most money any NFL team's ever played a center to be part of the mix. So there's no making light of this. It's important for him to be in there, and it's detrimental that he's not. Now, yes, it is good because I think the Bills have versatile interior offensive linemen. You have Spencer Long. You have John Feliciano. You have Ike Bocker, all guys that you're comfortable playing center. Even Ryan Bates, the new guy that they just traded for, he got reps at center this past week. So, yeah, you are getting guys familiar in that spot, but I want Mitch Morse in there, and I want him getting familiar with Josh Allen if I'm still. So what is encouraging about Mitch Morse is that watching him over the last couple of days, is there's progress here. He's getting ready to come back and play. He was dressed in the red jersey the last 2 days, and in comparing Tuesday to Wednesday, he was even more active. On Tuesday, he came out and he did individual work and kind of fired out of the stance a little bit, did gassers at the end of practice, getting sprints in. But yesterday, he was extremely engaged. He snapped the football to Josh Allen and the other Bills quarterbacks, still did individual work, had his helmet on. He was doing sprints all practice long. I mean, in between different sessions of practice, he's running sprints across the field. When Steven Hauschka was doing field goal, he's sprinting back and forth across the field. He's doing ladder work. You could tell this is a player that's getting ready to get back in. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to practice next week and play against Detroit or even when he's going to be back in, but I feel more and more comfortable based on observing him this week, thinking that he's going to be available in week one against the New York Jets, who have a really good defensive line, and certainly having him as part of the mix will be helpful for Josh Allen and the Bills offense.
Joe Marino from the Draft Network, our guest, as we go over to the other side of the ball. And then, Joe, I have to ask you the question, because we were kind of on a wild goose chase yesterday. Everybody was around this time yesterday. Normally, you wouldn't cite a podcast as being a source, but if that podcast has Stevie Johnson involved in it, then it gave everybody, hey, is this real or not? So the question coming to you, Jadeveon Clowney, is there anything to this at all? What was your read on all these rumors floating around about Clowney to Buffalo yesterday?
Well, I do a lot of listener interaction with the Locked On Bills podcast, and one of our entire shows every week on Tuesday is dedicated to listener questions. And I mean, I felt like I got a Jadeveon Clowney question just about every week for months. I mean, really, this has been an idea for a long, long time. And I never really thought it was a possibility. I mean, I had a lot of concerns about Jadeveon Clowney, 5 significant surgeries already in his career. Just the fact that the team that knew him best Wasn't able to get that long-term extension done. He's certainly a high-impact player, but, you know, it seems like there's some risk involved there. And the fact that he wasn't able to get anything done with Houston, maybe that was more of a shot at Brian Gaines than anything. But anyways, once you started seeing some of the prominent Bills beat reporters like Tim Graham dismissing it, I moved on. You know, I said, this isn't really a possibility. I think he will get moved. I just don't know if the Bills are going to be the team to do it. You can't sign into a long-term deal until after the extension. And honestly, Jadeveon Clowney hasn't even signed his franchise tender. So he has kind of his built-in no-trade clause because he didn't have to sign it if he doesn't agree to the team that he's going to. So he has so much leverage right now. I don't know if I see this as a real thing, even with kind of the prominent Bills insiders saying no. I just don't see it happening.
Joe, staying on the defensive side of the ball for the Bills, and we had the chance to see Ed Oliver firsthand at St. John Fisher College. We had the chance to see Tremaine Edmonds, who looks like a more mature Tremaine Edmonds here in his second year. I'm curious as to what your thoughts of the middle of the Bills' defense looked like to you the last 2 days there at Wofford.
It's explosive. You know, Ed Oliver's the guy that he's going to be that wrecking ball interior penetrator that really Sean McDermott hasn't had in two seasons so far as the Bills' head coach. I mean, we all love Kyle Williams. He's a great football player. He's a huge impact in terms of leadership in the locker room. But his athleticism is nothing like what Ed Oliver can bring. And so there's a trade-off there, but I think you have a more dynamic football player coming in Ed Oliver. And then Tremaine Edmonds, you could just tell, you started to see it towards the end of last year where he just became more confident and impactful and really flowing quickly and really attacking the football aggressively. And we saw that for two series against the Colts where he was extremely active. He was decisive. His trigger was fast, and he was reading stuff quick, and you saw that in 2 days of practice. I think that, you know, Tremaine Edmonds is getting ready to really break out, and, you know, it's an important role. And Sean McDermott's 4-3 defense, there's a lot on that middle linebacker. He's had, you know, he enjoyed Luke Kuechly over in Carolina, and you saw how consistently he churned out top 10 defenses over there. And, you know, even last year, while Edmonds was kind of still finding his way, how good the Bills' defense was. So I think it's getting ready to take another step forward, and we could be looking at a very stout interior of the Bills' defense this year.
He's the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Joe Marino, our guest. So, Joe, tomorrow night, Bills-Panthers, preseason game number 2. Give us a player, too, that you are looking forward to evaluating tomorrow night.
Well, I think Saron Neal's the name that really pops, the cornerback there, moving down from safety last year. You know, he got a lot of run with the first team over the last couple of days of practice and kind of filling in for different matchups against Teron Johnson. I thought he had a really positive day yesterday in man coverage, particularly with some reps against Greg Olsen. And so the Bills finally have some depth on defense and some versatility, and they could play the matchups a little bit more. And so we saw Saron Neal even kind of flash last preseason and throughout last just as a blitzer and playing forward, being physical. But, you know, if they want to use a bigger slot against the Bills, you could put Saron Neal on the field, ask him to jam and redirect routes and really come downhill and be an asset in that regard. So I'm looking forward to seeing him hopefully continue his progress throughout the course of the offseason and what he can mean to this defense in 2019. And then I still think I'm anxious to see Devin Singletary, Bills' third-round pick running back. There was good examples against the Colts of him being the focal point of that touchdown drive, both as a runner and a receiver. And I think that, you know, you'll see more opportunity for him this coming game against Carolina. And I think the Bills need to find out if Devin Singletary is going to be one of their top two backs in 2020 and beyond. And I think these preseason reps are going to be important because I still think this is going to be the McCoy and Gore show, come regular season. And so you got to find out what you have in Singletary, and I expect his workload to increase, and we'll get an even better feel for what he can be based on what he shows Friday night against Carolina.
Joe, appreciate your time today. Tell everybody about the Locked On Bills podcast and where more people can read your work here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. The Locked On Bills podcast, you can find it on any podcast medium that you like to use. It's daily, Monday through Friday. Actually, Monday through Saturday this week with the Panthers game. We've got to react to that on Saturday. So check that out on your favorite podcast provider. Follow me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. I do it. You know, most of my work is actually draft-related on thedraftnetwork.com. So plenty of Bills and NFL draft coverage for you on a daily basis. Follow it all on Twitter at TheJoeMarino.
Joe, great stuff as always. We appreciate you carving out some time to join us here in the sports bar. Enjoy Friday night, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.